Hey friends, as you can imagine, there's a lot of work going on in the container space here on Azure, and Steve is going to share with me the roadmap for improving container lifecycle management in Azure for production security, for reliability features, and for developer productivity today on Azure Friday. Hey, I'm Scott Hanselman, and it's another episode of Azure Friday. We're here with Steve. We're talking about containers. We've got so many good videos with you where you bring me best practices, you bring me nice demos. Today, you're going to bring me a roadmap. You're going to tell me what's coming in the coming months.
Yeah, so you know, there's been a lot of stuff going on. You know, we work really fast in the container registry team. Usually, we're kind of booked a couple of months out, and we always try not to book more than that because things are changing quickly. Mm. We've seen a dramatic push as people are moving into production, mm-hmm. And that's brought a new set of asks that we've been continually focusing on that have really tied up a lot of good time, and it's been great to see people making that shift. And so at this point, it's hard for us to say we can do it in 2 months.
Okay.
So we wanted to try to get a roadmap out and let people kind of see our what's going on and talk about some of
this. Okay, so this is 3 to 6 months, not 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, I would hope in the 3 to 6 months. You know, mm-hmm. we got holidays coming in there, so maybe a little bit in the spring.
Yep.
And of course, we really focus our priorities on the things that people are blocked on versus the things that are nice to haves, mm-hmm. and that it comes in two categories. Whereas things that only we could do, then we're gonna prioritize that. Things mm-hmm. like for auth flows or geo-replication of that nature. We've been asked a lot around vulnerability scanning, for instance, mm-hmm. and we've got some great work coming from the Azure Security Center.
Okay.
But that's a bit out, right? We're just getting started on that work, and we have some great partners that we work with. So our approach today is we can't make that go any faster. We want to have great partners, so we'll use partners like Aqua and Twistlock and NuoVector to fill that gap until we can provide our choice, mm-hmm. right, as an example.
But one of the things that I'm seeing as kind of the steel thread throughout everything here is, I like what you said here, containers as a common deployment currency. For a while there, about 4 or 5 years ago, I used to say that Git was FTP for code, but quickly containers and container images and Docker files have become the way that one does their deployment. It is the way that you move your code around.
It really is, and if you think about it, it's not just about the orchestrators. It's really a matter of, even in serverless, what people refer to there, and functions and other things is, you know, we get caught into what language is being used or supported. Like with containers, it doesn't matter.
Right.
I just give you a container, run my container, and it goes. And
right, we're doing, I care about the unit of work.
Exactly. And what style, how you want to work inside of that, it shouldn't matter. Mm. So it becomes much easier when I can deploy my code and its dependencies mm-hmm. as one. And that's, you know, these are just some of the services that we talk about.
And these are services that you support now?
Well, these are some of the services in Azure that take containers.
Take containers and can pull from any registry,
including
Azure containers.
ACR, right. Like, and we're working with partners because we're not in a space to try to be competitive with other registries. Mm. We want to be able to support them with the work we're doing inside of Azure. So the thing that I like about containers, just to kind of put an overview on this, mm-hmm. is, you know, we've been writing code for a long time to try to be resilient to things that happen, because things are always going to happen, mm-hmm. and we could try to, you know, make something never fail, and we know where that gets us.
Okay.
If we embrace failure as a primitive, mm-hmm. then we have a better chance of recovering.
So you're saying, rather than trying to pretend it never happens and try to keep it from ever happening, try to understand that it will absolutely happen, and then how can we make ourselves succeed when it does happen?
Exactly. How many times are you going to put a bigger battery in front of that power supply that keeps the thing running when at some other point something else is going to fail?
Yeah.
Put another machine in another place, put a load balancer in front of it, and then if it fails, just goes to the other.
Embrace the chaos monkey.
Embrace failure as a primitive. So with orchestrators, they really have that. So if we take a scenario here, and I have this animation I like to reuse in different forms. Mm-hmm. I'm pushing a bunch of images to the registry.
Right.
I'm going to tell the orchestrator to keep it running. Here's mm-hmm. the list of things to run.
Right.
And then it's going to go off and do its job. You know, it's Friday. It's Azure Friday. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go take the evening off. I'm going to go to the bar, I might go sailing, I might go play with my kids.
When I push to production, I do it on Friday.
And you just leave, right? what could possibly go wrong?
Nothing.
So somewhere in the middle of the night, something might go wrong. But, you know, I shouldn't care about it.
Yeah.
So that something goes wrong, but because the system is self-healing, it will just say, oh, I was told to run these containers, I'm gonna get these containers running again. Mm-hmm. So I come back in the next morning and I can tell stories about my great evening as opposed to trying to clean up the mess of things that happened the night before.
No one wants to carry the pager.
Exactly. So anyway, so if that's the primitive, then we need to start thinking about the broader life cycle.
Right.
So if I think of the life cycle primitives of a place to store, you know, things or things that are being deployed, I'm building, I'm doing testing, I've got source code control, and I've got the inner loop, which is continually becoming more in the cloud. One of the things that we want to be able to do is provide a registry that's secure by default. We don't want people to be thinking this production registry could might have some images that are insecure or not. So we basically want to just take what people refer to as a quarantine pattern and apply it to registries. So, and we'll talk more about that. The next is you never trust that the things in the registry were secure. So you're always gonna have another line of defense. So you're gonna have scanning at the service running as well. So that's your front line. We'll have ACR build, which we're starting to call ACR tasks, that are as a way to maintain those images that are built. I can build locally using AZACR build, or I can have OS and framework patching come in as well. We'll support Helm repos inside of ACR for people who want to have their manifest that describe their multi-container deployments. And you can just reference those. So it's not just in code. You'll actually have a versioned reference inside the registry of your deployment artifact. So that's pretty cool.
And it surprisingly might seem like overkill to some people, but down the road, a couple of years from now, when you maybe lose the code, you never know.
You can still your deployment.
Surprisingly useful.
The whole idea is you're keeping your deployment chart with the thing that you're deploying. We've seen a lot of people that as they automate their registries, they fill them up. And fill them up as relative. There's just a lot of stuff that's in there.
What does a prune mean?
What does a prune mean in a registry, right? Yeah, it's one thing when it's local. So we've been working on some work there, what we call auto purge, where you'll be able to manage the images that you want to keep around and get rid of the ones you don't with real telemetry. And of course, I mentioned the ACR build stuff is when that code does stop, we do want to be able to continue to OS and framework patch our containers. So that's what that's all about is we'll keep an image cache reference and we'll be able to, or an index rather, and as those update over time. So that's kind of what we look at the life cycle from end to end. There's other pieces to it and we'll talk more about that. So OS and framework patching, the idea there is ACR tasks is this core primitive build engine that can build and run containers for short lives for the purpose of building and patching containers. And the idea is it can plug into any of the CI/CD systems that are out there. The next one is, and we've got some videos we've done on that, so I won't drill into much detail. The secure by default one is an interesting one. This is one that we've actually, working with Docker on a contribution to distribution, so it could be in by default. For all registries, not just for ACR. And the idea is that, again, you're building and pushing images, and they are locked until they've been scanned. From an ACR perspective, we actually don't care why. We have the most obvious of plugging into vulnerability
scans. You just have a hook into a thing that goes off and scans it.
And the workflow for that is basically you would push an image to the registry. I like to call it the TH for Trojan horse image. There's a new webhook that we will fire that container scanners are listening to. So they will get that notification, they will pull on the digest, and then they will do a post back to our REST API with the right credentials to say, hey, I either approve or disapprove of that.
Now, this might not be a clever question, but when I think of a container, I can think of it as being fairly opaque, but they are cracking it open and looking at it. Like when I say, vulnerability, it could be a known operating system vulnerability at the image level. That image is a known good or known bad image. But then there's the this NuGet package or this JavaScript file has a known vulnerability.
Or it could be things scanning for known problems of where people store passwords. If it knows it's got some .NET config apps that might look in there to say, hey, is there any SQL connection strings that look
so vulnerability is as open to interpretation as anything. Exactly. And the quarantine that you're making can be could be a legal quarantine, could be a sign-off quarantine, it could be a security quarantine. you have the flexibilities, which underscores how flexible the container registry concept is.
And that's something we really focus on a lot, is building these primitives that can be used in many ways. Like, we think end-to-end and we build the individual components. So from our perspective, we don't know or care why it was stopped. Well, we assume it stopped if you flip the bit on.
Right.
And we leave it to whoever plugs in to decide whether that should image be released or not. So you had an interesting example where, you know, some licensing or something.
Yeah, so someone had checked in some code and they hadn't done the correct thing around licensing, and that brought up questions. So then it asks you, where in the developer's inner loop should that exist? Is that something that gets caught at the source control level?
Right.
Is that caught at a code review? But ultimately, why wouldn't you have checks at every level? And if someone checked in something that wasn't appropriately licensed code or appropriately attributed, you can catch it at the container level.
If it can be automated, just, you know, you can plug it in there. So that was a great example. So when the scanner says, yep, it's good, you'll get a webhook, a normal webhook for push events. And then your release management that's listening for push events can go, oh, I got this image, let me deploy it, and life's good. Now, that's great for new images. This plays out for images that are already deployed and new vulnerabilities come out as well. That's a little bit more complex because you have images that are already deployed.
But you're thinking about it.
Yeah, that's part of the workflow. The scanner would be able to disable it in the registry.
Okay.
And you could decide how you want to handle. They have different configurations on what they want to do for running nodes. So the workflow there is I push a tag, a 1.0 tag here, and you can see that the digest is quarantined. And until the quarantine is pulled off, then the tag 1.0 comes up. And the same thing for 1.1, that's been put in quarantine.
And is that a pattern? Is this push quarantine just a it's not equal equals push, therefore it doesn't show up?
Right.
You're getting kind of a free filter by it simply not equaling push. It doesn't get removed from the list.
Oh, even if somebody's doing a regex. In this case, is that what you're talking about?
I'm just curious. It's like a very clever way to do this. Is this an industry thing or is this an ACR thing?
It's an ACR thing that we're submitting for, you know, for to the OSS distribution.
It makes a lot of sense.
So
that's really cool.
We're hoping that will make a little more use.
Yeah, yeah.
The scanning company's been really supportive in helping us make this better. Mm-hmm. Now, in this case, you know, I've got 1.1 and those both went out. But then I have this 1.0 tag that I want to update.
Right.
And this is where it got a little interesting because I pushed a 1.0 tag, but it's still under quarantine.
Yep.
So at this point, I'm still going to be pulling the other 1.0 until that one has been approved. And then you could see the transfers over. So we've had to work through some of those semantics.
Yeah.
And in this case,
you don't want to block them, but you want to protect people.
Exactly. So the next one we think about is image signing. We've had a bunch of people asking us around Docker Content Trust. So we do have that working now. Mm-hmm. It's in preview. So it's nice that people can actually sign their images, store them in ACR, and then pull.
Right. And in a world where we're now starting to sign our Git commits and make sure that those are signed with our PGP keys, we should be able to do the same for our containers.
We should. And there's some more work to be done here because the current Content Trust implementation doesn't span registries. So for instance, you pull an image out of MCR, you know, for a first party image.
Right.
When you put it in your registry, which is what you should do so that you can have local control over it.
Right.
Unfortunately today the signature
doesn't come along, but it should.
But you could re-sign it so it's owned by your Contoso company or Hanson.
Indeed.
Or Smash Babies, what is the?
Baby Smash.
Baby Smash.
Baby Smash is great.
The next one we were talking about image policy for waste management and recycling. Uh-huh. The thing that's interesting here is, you know, when should something be deleted? Uh-huh. Is it deleted because it was never released?
Okay.
You know, if it was never released, then we can just get rid of it in a couple of days. You'll be able to set a policy. If it was released, well, when do you delete it?
A year, 2 years?
A year from when?
When the public saw it? I don't know. That's a great question.
So if the thing ran a day, then and my policy is to keep it for, let's see, three years.
But if it ran longer, maybe.
But if it's running, you know, 3 years from now, in 3 years in a day when that node dies and it tries to pull that image, is it still there?
So do I have a window of 3 years after the last day it was in production?
So that's where it's a little more complex. We're working with things like the Azure Security Center team so that we can monitor all the things that are running and all the nodes that we know about it. It's always letting ACR know. And every time we see that we can basically bump the expiration policy to be, in this case, 3 years from the date that we saw it.
That sounds like a killer feature. The only concern I would make is it's the dead man's switch. And sometimes people fall asleep and they're not dead.
Yes.
So I would want to make sure that it always assumed not to delete it.
Yeah, we have a recycle bin that we're working on as well that'll add some more safety measure to it.
Cool.
But that's the idea. So quarantine might get rid of it right away. Mm-hmm. Things that are untagged, that are just manifest, that are just zombied images, you can purge those automatically. So that's another part there. So we've got a pretty big lifecycle management view. I just wanted to give a quick snippet of some of them. With ACR, we are working on things around, we want to make sure that keep your images close, you can secure them. We have some great geo-replication features that have been GA now, so you can mm-hmm. actually have multi-master replications. So everywhere, if your developers are in a foreign country, whatever foreign means to you, they can check in locally, and then it'll replicate, and you will have them locally
as well.
And
I think this is a particularly good slide because it says, why do I need a container registry? Because I'll be honest with you, I didn't think I needed one when I started getting into containers. I, as we do with all new things, I dismissed it out of hand.
As it's an extra thing. Why do I need that detail?
Docker Hub's fine. I'll have a private one. It's fine. But when you start seeing all the potential things around lifecycle management, you realize that it really is a fundamental central hub for all things deployment. Yeah. If you're going to try to have a healthy CI/CD and a healthy DevOps cycle, you really need a container registry.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
So just a quick list of stuff because it's hard to cover it all. VNet's been a big important one. We're finishing that up. We should have that out by Ignite. We talked about content trust and token authentication. This is one of the big features we get asked by a lot is, can I do repo level permissions? Mm-hmm. And we've been pushing back on that because it's been more difficult. We're going to do that with tokens. And you can just kind of see everything from anonymous access, usage telemetry, Helm repositories, OCI. We've got a pretty good
backlog. It's a lot of work. And you're saying that hopefully, this time next summer, you'll be back with another list of great features.
Absolutely.
And these will all be available to people. So folks could go check this out at aka.ms/ACR. And you've got all kinds of great information about the different features that are both out right now, in preview, or on the way. I'm learning all about the roadmap and the great stuff coming on Azure Container Registry here on Azure Friday.